Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we do a comprehensive, in fact, the most comprehensive takedown of the failure of California. We talk about the success of Florida versus the absolute disgrace that is Andrew Cuomo. I go through the worst takes of the Chinese coronavirus, and I ask the question, what is the line for Democrats when it comes to Joe Biden? Email me your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider right now. Take out your phone, type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe, give us those 5-star reviews. We are 8 on the podcast charts right now. Who knows where we'll be when you're listening to this episode? It means so much. Get your friends to subscribe. Email me your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to hear from you and learn from you. Buckle up, everybody. You're going to love this episode. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. Hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend and enjoying this new week. What a great time to be alive in America. We are overcoming the lockdowns, overcoming the virus. And yes, those are two separate things, and we will go into that today on the Charlie Kirk Show. I encourage you to go back a couple episodes in the Charlie Kirk Show. We have never gotten such a response as we have received from the latest couple episodes. The Ask Me Anything on Monday, my takedown of Biden, has really blown a lot of internet chatter off the rails. And also our episode most recently of our extended 2-hour-plus discussion with medical expert Keith Rose and statistician Aaron Ginn about Dr. Fauci, Bill Gates. And I challenge them on a couple things that they say about Dr. Fauci and the data. And it's a really in-depth and, I think, informative and helpful discussion. Over the Memorial Day weekend, I always like to read my news, not listen to my news or watch the news. Now, of course, you should listen to the Charlie Kirk Show first and foremost, because we are the exception to that rule. But I like reading and processing the information as it's written down. I think it's a way that you can spot the inaccuracies, way that you can find the bias as the leftist activist media is trying to steer you in a direction that is not rooted in truth and not correct. And so I came across just some articles that were so unbelievably biased in just the headline that I had to share them with you. And I think they're really helpful. I think they're helpful to you because this is the way the media is going to try to position and manipulate your thinking as we get out of the lockdown damage and the corona Chinese virus, the Chinese coronavirus. So one of the first articles that I found as I was just flipping through news coverage throughout the weekend, I try to read a couple hours a day, is from The Hill. It says, U.S. enters risky new phase of coronavirus fight. And the article isn't that incorrectly written. And I like The Hill. I know the owner of The Hill. There's some great people there. But this article is ridiculous. U.S. enters risky new phase of coronavirus fight. At what point of this entire fight have we not had risk? Isn't the whole point of shutting down our country the fact that there was such a high threshold of risk? And most importantly, when has life never had risk? See, the presupposition of the entire article is as if we're going to enter something riskier than ever before. Is that really the case? For example, more people under the age of 55 died from car crashes in California every day than from the Chinese coronavirus. The chance of dying from the virus under the age of 55 in California is 1 out of 9 million. That's if you're under the age of 55. The overall death rate in California is 1 out of 300,000. We now know that if you're under 50 years of age, the coronavirus has a fatality rate of just 0.1%, or 1 in 1,000, which is exactly the same fatality rate as the everyday flu. I got a letter right here from a dear friend in California, because I'm talking about California statistics, that is going to blow your mind when it comes to COVID-19 deaths. And I will talk about that in just one second. So when you take a look at the average number of deaths, though, per day in the United States, it's very telling. 1,700 people die of heart disease every single day. 1,600 from cancer. Medical error, 685 a day. Accidents, 401. Stroke, 401. Alzheimer's, 332. Diabetes, 228. Flu, 150. Suicide, 128. Awful. Opioids, 115. Drunk driving, 28. Underage drinking, 11. Teenage texting and driving, 8. Life is unbelievably risky. Life is full of disease. Life is full of bad people. Life is full of accidents. Teenage texting and driving, 8 teenagers die a day of texting and driving. That should be a lesson to everyone here at the Charlie Kirk Show. Turn on the Charlie Kirk Show when you drive and put your phone away and just listen to commentary, facts, wisdom, and a way that you can fight the left. The risk of the coronavirus is nothing new. The risk of life is nothing new. So when The Hill says the U.S. enters a risky new phase of coronavirus, and you start to hear people on TV say, oh, well, it's really risky what's happening right now. Say, when has life never had risk? When has this lockdown never had risk? It's misleading. It's trying to attack Donald Trump and say that there should be something we should be scared of, something that we should be frightened of, just because we're reopening America. And the facts say otherwise. And speaking of risk, there's a risk that your computer could be hacked by the Chinese Communist Party. There's a chance that foreign governments, like the Iranian government, could be plotting and planning your government to be next for ransomware. That's why I want to tell you about PCmatic. They're a whiteless, next-generation antivirus system designed to stop modern threats, like the Iranian Revolutionary Guard or the Chinese Communist Party wanted to hack your computer. PCmatic has American research, development, and support. So here's what's most important. You might hear other sales pitches for things to prevent your computer away from ransomware, but guess what? PCmatic is the only one made in America. Support America. Buy America. PCmatic blocks annoying and malicious ads for hassle-free web browsing and makes your computer faster and more reliable even after years of use. PCmatic protects Windows computers, including XP, Vista, Windows 7, 8, and 10, Windows servers, Macs, MacBooks, Androids, phones, and tablets. PCmatic is just $50 for 5 devices for 1 year with a full 30-day money-back guarantee. And if you act now, PCmatic has offered my listeners a free month of security protection with the purchase of an annual license. To access this offer, go to PCmatic.com/Charlie. Again, to get the world-class security that keeps your computers running great, go to PCmatic.com/Charlie, PCmatic.com/Charlie. So I have an article right here from the Los Angeles Times, and I mentioned earlier the California death rate. And what's happened in California needs to be talked about. Gavin Newsom has been gallivanting around on television, acting as if he's God's gift to modern American politics just because he talks in a very deep and groveling voice and he's able to recite Rousseauian Marxist literature better than other people. Has anyone else noticed that how Gavin Newsom sounds like Bane from Batman now?
I will bring California back from the brink.
You listen to pre-corona Bane as governor and post-corona Bane Gavin Newsom, it's two totally different things. I received this letter from a dear friend of mine. I'm not going to say her name to protect her privacy. And I have the letter right here. That's unbelievable. It's about a real life story about the Chinese coronavirus. I'm going to read this letter to you. And it's about California. And it's about Gavin Newsom in particular. It's about how people's lives have been put in danger because of the California Department of Health. And it also segues to the next article I want to talk to you about, which is an article written about the Los Angeles Times. Here is the letter. It reads, Dear Charlie, our mother did not die of COVID-19. She died because of COVID-19. Our mother died on Monday, May 18th, 2020, after a long battle with frontotemporal dementia, or otherwise known as FTD. FTD, a rare form of dementia that often affects younger people, is a terrible disease that robs a person of their humanity, relationships, and frankly, their life. In our mother's case, not only did the FTD affect her mind, but she had the variant that affected her nervous and muscular systems as well, rendering her completely non-ambulatory and unable to feed herself. She endured this for many years as her mind and body simply atrophied. But all of this pales in comparison to the last 10 years of her life. Our mother has been a resident of the dementia care unit at an extremely upscale, beautiful, and very expensive senior care home for the last 7 years. The surroundings were lovely, the caretakers were devoted and loving, and the home regularly brought in a series of performers, teachers, and therapists to entertain and work with the residents in an attempt to keep their minds as active as possible. Furthermore, family members of residents came and went, some visiting daily. All of this came to a screeching halt when Governor Gavin Newsom and Mayor Eric Garcetti instituted the Safer at Home orders, also referred to as the lockdown. The entertainers were forbidden from coming. The therapists were forbidden from coming. And more amazingly, family members were forbidden from coming. Information about the actual goings on at the facility were infrequent. The facility lost caretakers and staff, either because they were actually sick or afraid of getting sick. The resident-to-caretaker ratio skyrocketed. The few caretakers who did come to work were placed in an untenable position. In an effort to prevent the spread of the disease, no community activities were permitted. The solution? Lock each resident in their room, alone, with no human interaction. Caretakers, fully decked out in masks, gowns, and gloves, therefore unrecognizable to the already mentally tenuous patients, came in every few hours to check on the residents, to test for fever, and for signs of life. Residents were fed in their rooms, in a manner as quickly as possible. Since staff was so low and each resident had to be individually attended to, other than those few interfaces, the residents were left alone in their bed, lost, alone, and confused. Whatever mental abilities they may have had deteriorated even further, brought alone by extreme isolation. Further, in our mother's case, because she was non-ambulatory and unable to feed herself, she never moved and barely ate, simply laying in her bed for weeks and weeks and weeks. As you would guess, she developed bed sores, extreme weight loss, and eventually the pneumonia that caused her death. This is the way our mother died, alone, starved, emancipated, afraid, and confused, like a caged animal. And then to add insult to injury, her funeral was a farce. Despite the fact that it appears that the virus is more difficult to spread in an outdoor environment, the cemetery, as required under Los Angeles restrictions, enforced a strict 10-person, 20-minute rule. We asked, we begged, we pleaded for concessions. While they granted us an additional 25 minutes of time, they would not budge on the 10-person limit. On a May afternoon in California, the temperature was approximately 90 degrees. Exactly 10 people were there, standing graveside and far apart from each other, and were forced to wear masks. In fact, we were advised that they would stop the service and any guests did not wear a mask, only because we stated that we had a, quote, condition for wearing masks. Were we permitted to remove our masks just for long enough to give her a eulogy? This situation should never happen again. Even though the nursing homes represent a very high-risk population, the many who do not contract COVID-19 should not die from starvation and neglect. If a family member is willing to go to a nursing home wearing appropriate PPE and feed and comfort their family member, they should be permitted to doing so. Anything less is totally inhumane. Let the residents go outside, improve circulation, and add air filtration systems. Let the residents see the caretakers' unmasked faces. Let the caretakers move the residents from their beds around the facility grounds. Let the residents enjoy what limited time and abilities they still have. Will the people still die in nursing homes? Yes. Will the elderly still come in contact and die from COVID? Yes. Will these people die alone and afraid? We hope not. Thank you for taking the time to read our story. Regards, two people that I know quite well. It's not just people that are dying of the virus. It's the people that have no quality of life that are descending into dementia and isolation. This is inhumane. The lockdowns are not working. The lockdowns have not worked. And now California Gavin Newsom, you have robbed thousands of people, tens of thousands of people, of funerals. What about the people in suicide? According to Laura Ingraham, more people have committed suicide in the state of California than have died of COVID-19. What about the teenagers that committed suicide because of the lockdown, and now they're not even being able to have a funeral, Gavin Newsom, because of your lockdown? You have shut down the state of California. You've kept marijuana shops open. You've kept liquor shops open. You've not allowed people in skate parks or beaches. And now people can't even have a funeral. And more people have died because of your lockdown of the suicide than because of the Chinese coronavirus. You, sir, are the worst of America's political system. You're like J.B. Pritzker and Andrew Cuomo and the rest of them. And this story is just one of thousands. And if you have a story like this and you know of one, email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. I won't be able to read them all on air, but I will read them all personally. I will internalize them. Because I could tell you right now, we must never allow something like this to happen again. And I'm going to get into that in just 1 second. So before we get into more California draconian lockdown carnage because of Gavin Newsom and the Eric Garcetti types, I want to tell you about a way that you can get out of student loan debt. It's really important. Maybe you don't have student loan debt, but I guarantee you, you know someone that does. Unfortunately, a lot of people, they engage in self-harm and a very downward spiral because they have debt. Studies show this. That's why I want to tell you about Credible.com. They help people get out of student loan debt. They help people check their student loan refinancing rates, find a rate, and they are a lender that works for them. And they ultimately are able to refinance their student loans. Credible.com is an online marketplace that helps get you pre-qualified student loan refinancing rates from up to 10 different lenders. They help you get out of student loan debt. If you've gotten student loan debt, you could benefit. They help you get a lower rate. If you're getting crushed by the cartel of the colleges, put down what you're doing right now. Pull over to the side of the road if you're texting and driving. Don't do that. And check out Credible.com/Charlie. You can save on interest, lower your monthly payment, more money in your pocket. With a shorter loan term, you could get debt-free faster. You can consolidate all your student loan bills in one place. And Credible customers have given awesome reviews about how much better their lives have been after refinancing their student loans. On Credible, you see actual pre-qualified rates from the 10 different lenders, whereas with some other marketplaces, you get a range of rates or ballpark estimates. It only takes a couple of minutes to check rates, and checking rates does not impact your credit. That's right, it does not impact your credit. They never sell your data, so you won't receive spam and phone calls from dozens of lenders. I know a lot of friends that have used this. I've seen emails at freedom@charliekirk.com of people that have refinanced their student loans. You go to credible.com/Charlie, credible.com/Charlie. It's credible.com/Charlie. When you refinance your student loans using this link, they'll give you a $200 gift card, free cash in your pocket, Andrew Yang style. Fill in a few pieces of info to check out what rates you're eligible for. Again, that's credible.com/Charlie. And I know that letter was a little bit long, but I read it for a reason, because that's a real first-person testimony. I do get into the data. I get into the statistics a lot. We are a fact-first show, and we are surging in the charts because of our approach to use data and analysis and objective thinking around the big ideas. But a personal story like that is so important to tell. So here's another California example. The Los Angeles Times, a real beauty of a publication, said, quote, "They survived a school shooting, then coronavirus stole Sagas High's senior year." This is a story I read over the weekend in the Los Angeles Times. Again, it's so tempting to not see or recognize, admit, or vocalize the bias in this story. In fact, it's really easy to gloss over it just in the title. What's wrong in this story? They survived a school shooting, then coronavirus stole Sagas High's senior year. Coronavirus didn't steal anything. The lockdown stole their senior year. 2 years ago, when we had a huge flu outbreak, did that steal someone's senior year? Of course not. Politicians, power-hungry administrators, parents that followed along, and the ruling class stole their senior year. Just like when Mayor Eric Garcetti, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti, says we have to earn our freedom back, which may be one of the most awful takes of the entire Chinese coronavirus lockdown. He said, well, you have to earn it back. No, our rights are natural upon our creation. In the Declaration of Independence, which was inspired by the writings of John Locke, which was an extension of Descartes, and I have an article in Newsweek that I encourage you to check out. You can check it out on charliekirk.com, where I ask the question, what happens if someone ceases to think? Because Descartes famously said, I think, therefore I am. Well, then, if you stop thinking, what are you? Because we've stopped thinking. High school should never have been closed. There might have been some merit to close it for 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. But once we saw the data pour in that young people were not impacted by this virus any more than the flu, then we should have saw teen suicides go up, which we did. We should have saw anxiety medication prescriptions go up, which we have. And we should have said, close the lockdown, return to normal, give people their jobs, their lives, their spring sports back, their proms, and their commencements. They stole that from you. The virus didn't do anything except infect people. Now it's easy to say, well, Charlie, the virus caused the lockdowns. No, a bad analysis of the virus caused the lockdown. And we took a very firm stance here early and often on the Charlie Kirk Show against these draconian lockdowns. You can go back in the archives of the Charlie Kirk Show. Go back to the huge episode in all caps where we said, open America now. I can't tell you the incoming that we got from reporters when we published that episode. I was on the front page of the New York Times, 1A, for some of the comments that I said about opening America now. They said, oh, Charlie, you're too aggressive. That was some of the feedback from the New York Times article. It might be too soon to reopen America. No, now it is widely accepted in conservative circles, widely accepted in scientific circles that this lockdown was a total mistake. That this lockdown should never have happened. That closing our country and stealing jobs, stealing lives, stealing the economy, all of this, including stealing sports and March Madness, was a misstep and an error, the likes of which our generation will be paying for as long as we are on this planet, on this earth. And so I was on Steve Hilton this last weekend. Steve Hilton is a true patriot. He's a populist and a dear friend. He's someone I think so highly of, and I owe a lot to Steve Hilton. I was on a show this last weekend, and I like Steve Hilton because he's so magnanimous. He likes to have people on from both parties that have good ideas. And he had someone on there that had a very good idea when he ran for president, John Delaney, one that I actually think I support, but I'm open-minded to the opposition to it, so I'm not dogmatic in it. It's John Delaney. He was the failed presidential candidate and former congressman who had the idea when he was running for president for a national year of service after high school. I think it's a pretty interesting idea. I see downsides to it, but I think the upsides to national unity and people working right when they get out of high school instead of going to college, which are anti-American indoctrination camps, is a much better approach than what we currently have. But John Delaney said something on Steve Hilton on Fox News that I have to criticize. I'm going to do so politely. I'm going to do so fairly, but it's an awful take. I don't even know if he knew the significance of what he was saying, but we cannot allow anyone in the national media to say this. Play tape.
John, great to see you. Just give us your thoughts on where we are right now and your sense of the priorities for the recovery in the months ahead.
Great to be with you, Steve. It's been a long time. So I think where we are right now is we have to look at the data and we have to look at the facts and make really smart decisions going forward. It doesn't really matter what happened in the past. And that's also one of the things we have to stop doing in this country is second guessing everything. You know, we have to have some tolerance for trying new things. If they don't work, kind of pivot back and being much more nimble. And it's clear to me that since half of the deaths in this country, literally half of the deaths in the country have been in nursing homes, where there's about 1.5 million people out of 330 million people, that we need a laser-like focus on really making sure we're protecting them.
Did you catch that? Maybe you didn't. But he said it doesn't matter what happened in the past. This is the Democrats trying to avoid taking responsibility for the very lockdown that almost destroyed our entire civilization. This is them trying to deflect. This is them trying to swerve. This is them trying to say, oh, what's done is done. You know what really pains me about this whole thing? Is that anyone that studies human history, like I do, anyone that loves history, anyone that dives into the deep thinkers, anyone that tries to learn, anyone that understands history should have rejected the lockdown from the beginning. It's interesting. Dennis Prager, who I consider to be one of the great minds of the conservative movement, he was against the lockdown from the very beginning. A lot of people here in my life that I talk to, the highest level business and finance, they were against the lockdown from the very beginning. Our chief operational officer at Turning Point USA, Tyler Boyer, was against the lockdown. And you know what's really interesting about Tyler Boyer and Dennis Prager? The one thing that they have in common? They both lived and studied in post-Soviet Russia. Really interesting. They both understood what happens when the government starts to tell people they can't leave their homes. They know that doesn't end well. A very simple but brutal interpretation of human history is that human history is an endless bloodbath. There's no excuses for this. There's no justification. There's no reasoning. And I exempt the president of the United States from this because the president did what he had to do and he issued guidelines. And it's a lie to say the president ever wanted to lock down the country. That is a lie. The president issued guidelines and he left it up to the states. President Trump is outside of this indictment and this criticism. This is for the power-hungry politicians, specifically on the left. We have sufficient history. The entire 20th century was about us shutting down civilizations. That was basically the story of the early and mid-20th century. And what's so interesting about this is that as John Delaney basically says, we have to avoid pinning anyone for this. That is wrong. When you create $6 trillion out of thin air and you shut down Western society, someone must be held accountable when that is a mistake. More people have died as a result of New York and New Jersey's disastrous nursing home policies than coronavirus deaths in Texas, Georgia, Ohio, and Florida combined. And Delaney conveniently brought up nursing homes, but he doesn't want anyone to be blamed for that. And Andrew Cuomo is already trying to blame Trump for that. So if we're not going to hold anyone accountable for the lockdowns, and Democrats are passing the buck on the nursing homes, who would Delaney suggest that we make pay for the damage that's been done to our country? Guess what? There was a Republican governor that did what Andrew Cuomo did in the state of New York, just putting old people in nursing homes in this recirculated COVID-19 Chinese virus petri dish with a death hole that increased the way that it did. There would be hearings already on Congress for how these Republican governors abuse their power. There would be hearings, one after the other, about how these Republican governors did the worst thing ever. But guess what? Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia, which I disagree with him on some things, but he was terrific here. Governor Ron DeSantis, Governor Greg Abbott, they led the way. And there's only been one good Democrat governor. I got to give credit where credit's due. Governor Polis in Colorado has been opening his state way ahead of the normal pattern, because he actually, I think, wants what's best for Colorado. Governor Newsom, Governor Cuomo, Governor Pritzker, Governor Murphy, you want what's best for your leftist political agenda. You do not want what's best for your states. So here's another beauty from the Washington Post. Study estimates 24 states still have uncontrolled coronavirus spread. Quote, the coronavirus may still be spreading at epidemic rates in 24 states, particularly in the South and Midwest, according to the new research that highlights the risk of a second wave of infections in places that reopen too quickly or without sufficient precautions, end quote. This is pure fear-mongering from the media. Listen to this again. Study estimates 24 states still have uncontrolled coronavirus spread, Washington Post. When have we had a controlled spread? When at any time in the history of virology or infectious diseases have we had a control spread? Definitionally, if you have a spread, it's usually not controlled. This is linguistic terrorism by the Washington Post. It is. This is them using words in a way to make you feel inappropriately afraid for what's happening in real time. This is, they are weaponizing semantics to try to accomplish a political goal. They act as if the virus has ever been controlled or a virus in human history can be controlled. They're continuing these doomsday type projections and predictions for states that open, quote, too early. But take a look at Texas, a state that opened too early, according to the media. Governor Greg Abbott just tweeted, quote, today, Texas has the fewest COVID-19 fatalities since the end of March. We also had the fewest COVID hospitalizations since the middle of April. And we have the second most recoveries from COVID in America. In Georgia, another state referenced by the Washington Post in their uncontrolled spread, as if we've ever controlled anything to do with a virus ever before in human history. By definition, if you have an infectious disease, you're not controlling it, Washington Post. It should have said, if they were any set obvious at all, they should say, study estimates, states that are reopening actually have more of a controlled spread than not. Because the states that are actually opening and that have ended their lockdowns, they're closer to being controlled than ever before. But that would be far too honest for the Washington Post. Brian Kemp released this statement last week. Today, May 19th, just days before the Post article was published, marks the lowest number of COVID-19 positive patients hospitalized in Georgia at 986. That's down 34% since May 1st. Compare that to the states that, quote, have virus under control. Now, mind you, I'm going to right now get into the side-by-side of Florida data versus New York data. Let's take a step back into the time machine. Do you know what's so amazing about being a member of the liberal activist media? Is no matter how much you lie, no matter how untruthful you are, no matter how incorrect you are, No matter how much you propagandize the public, you never have to be held accountable. See, this is great for people that don't believe in morals. If you're a journalist, I put in quotes, and you think lying is perfectly acceptable under a Machiavellian ends justify the means ethical moral construct, then it's a perfect place for you. Basically, what's happened to the discipline of journalism is that it's perfectly acceptable to push the truth, ignore the truth, push the boundaries of the truth, or lie blatantly if it accomplishes your end goal. Now, mind you, this is a postmodernist view of the world. We've talked about this a lot on the Charlie Kirk Show. You've probably heard that term before from the great Jordan Peterson, who has popularized that term in recent years. But this originated really with Jacques Derrida, who basically argued there's no such thing as absolute truth. The only thing you can know to be true is actually you being part of a broader power play, and that Western society is nothing more than an experiment in exploitation. This is so wrong, it's so pathological, and it's so unbelievably dangerous. But in the journalist discipline, as this example I'm about to share with you right now as we go back in the time machine, shows exactly that. Amanda Mull from The Atlantic on April 29th wrote, "George's experiment in human sacrifice. The state is about to find out how many people they need to lose their lives to shore up the economy." And this article is so dishonest. It is so intentionally trying to attack conservatives and attack Governor Kemp, but she doesn't care. You think Amanda Mull is in the pursuit of truth? This is under the health division of The Atlantic. You know, The Atlantic, it pains me to read their site because they have the most gifted, misdirected writers in the history of the written art. They have the most, it is the intersection of talent and dishonesty, is The Atlantic. Because, I mean, it is the perfect mixture of people that have no desire to pursue truth, but are so unbelievably talented at describing their dishonesty. I mean, it's almost poetic, their sophistry. For those of you that don't know what a sophist is someone in ancient Greece that was so committed to being dishonest that they would use linguistic tools and semantic reasoning. This is an article in Sophistry, George's experiment in human sacrifice. Now we know that it's down 34% since May 1st. So since Amanda Mull wrote this article in The Atlantic, George's experiment in human sacrifice, it's down 34%. So now let's look at the side-by-side of Florida versus New York. I tweeted this and it went viral. Florida's population is 22 million. New York's population is 19.5 million. Florida's income tax, of which I am a resident of Florida, 0% income tax. New York's income tax, 8%. The governor of Florida is a Republican, Ron DeSantis. The governor of New York is a Democrat, Andrew Cuomo. Chinese virus cases in Florida, 50,000. In New York, 366,000. But here's the real kicker. Virus deaths in Florida, 2,200. Virus deaths in New York, 29,000 plus. Maybe they shouldn't have put everyone in nursing homes and have the carnage around that. Janice Dean from Fox News went on Tucker Carlson's show and had an amazing testimony about how Andrew Cuomo should be investigated and should be held culpable for those deaths. I want to play that tape for you right now. Janice Dean on Fox News, Tucker Carlson.
And you believe, having covered it, that the policy decision, the governor's decision to allow or to prevent the exclusion of infected patients from assisted living in nursing homes contributed to this?
I do. And that's one of the reasons why I'm speaking out, Tucker, is because I have not seen the coverage of this. You've covered it. Martha's covered it. The New York Post has covered it. This should be one of the biggest stories of this pandemic of 2020. 20% of our lost loved ones are from nursing homes. And it's because Governor Cuomo and several other governors, by the way, in different states,
yes,
forced COVID recovering patients into nursing homes. And I am certain at least one of his parents, I believe his dad, before his dad died, a week before his dad died, they called Sean to tell him they were moving him to another floor. And I believe that floor was used for recovering COVID patients. I can't prove that. We can't get any confirmation on any of this. And by the way, he didn't find out until the death certificate came in that he was COVID. He got a call on a Saturday morning that his dad was not feeling well, and 3 hours later, he was dead. And his mom, 2 weeks later, got COVID, was rushed to the hospital, died in the hospital, and her number will not be counted as a nursing home or an assisted living home because of the governor's policy of saying that she died in the hospital, even though it was confirmed COVID.
There should be a federal investigation into Andrew Cuomo and his mishandling of the nursing home situation. He was going on cable television, talking for an hour and a half, 2 hours, saying the same thing every day, while he was stuffing vulnerable people on the same floor of nursing homes, having no care for their dignity as human beings. It's kind of consistent, though, isn't it? Andrew Cuomo passes the most radical abortion bills in the entire country. No dignity for human beings. He forces at-risk elderly people in the same place in a nursing home. No concern for human beings. That should tell you a lot about where the Democrat Party is and where they're headed. With currently no NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball, you might think that there's nothing to bet on. You are wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. From their online casino to poker to blackjack, as they are bringing the Vegas to you. Do you miss the NFL? No problem. BetOnline has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can wager on. And NASCAR is back. If you're into entertainment betting, you can still bet on Big Brother, stock prices, and even the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. All open 24 hours a day and all online. Visit the website or use your mobile device and join today to receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. Joe Burrow is going to the Cincinnati Bengals. The Ducks are coming back. The Cubs are going to be on the march. And the Dodgers will screw up and choke horribly. Because that's what the Dodgers do. I'm totally kidding. Mr. Producer is a huge Dodgers fan. He just got up with a certain watch. And you know what watch that is. And he was so upset. It was visceral. It was mad. It was almost as angry as our politicians should be towards the Chinese Communist Party, but they won't be because most of them are bought by the Chinese Communist Party. And on that note, go to betonline.ag. Use that promo code podcast1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So over the weekend, I got so many emails on freedomatcharliekirk.com over the Biden. If you're not voting for me, if you ain't for Biden, you ain't black. I'm not even paraphrasing, by the way. I think that's the legitimate quote. And I got so many emails. We did an amazing takedown of Joe Biden. Go back in the archives, listen to my Ask Me Anything. That open was one of my favorites I've done recently, and it was pretty extensive. So I asked the question, I said, what is actually the line? Where is the line? What does Biden have to do for people to say, you know, I'm not voting for that? Is the line for Joe Biden to go and do a press conference draped in the Chinese flag, would that be the line? Would it be when he is doing an interview for him to start talking Mandarin? Would that be the line? Or how about this? If all of a sudden, if he was just kind of doing a campaign event and he just breaks into the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air routine. Or what if he just starts screaming at black people at his rallies that don't exist because they all abide by CDC guidelines? If there's a black person, he just says, if you don't vote for me, you, sir, are not black, you pony-faced dog soldier, you. What is the line? Does the line exist? Well, the Nation columnist, which is a really beauty publication. If you hate America, you love the Nation. Columnist Katha Pollitt. She declared that she would support Biden, quote, even if he boiled babies and ate them. Full quote, I would vote for Joe Biden if he boiled babies and ate them. He wasn't my candidate, but taking back the White House is that important. So, got it. Infant cannibalism, not the line for Katha Pollitt. Prenatal eating and digesting of fellow human beings, that line, that for her, not so much. Very clear. Now, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Interesting enough, I don't know what the obsession is on the radical left about eating babies. It seems like it always diverts back to it. Is it some sort of strange built-up guilt around Planned Parenthood funding or something? I don't know what it is, but there's something there that's not right. But AOC last year, she didn't disavow the idea of eating babies to protect us from climate change. You might remember that. So I don't know why the left always uses this idea of the destruction of the unborn. It should just ask the question, why are you so obsessed with the destruction of the unborn? Why does that concern you so much? I mean, if I were to say I wouldn't vote for, if Joe Biden did X, Y, Z, I wouldn't vote for him. Why is the first thing you go to that? I mean, maybe it would be like, even if Joe Biden, I don't know, got credibly accused of rape, I would still vote for him. Oh, wait, he has been. Okay, bad example. I don't know. Maybe if Joe Biden sold us out to our greatest enemy for $1.5 billion via his son, I wouldn't vote for him. My bad, he did that. Sorry. Maybe if Joe Biden told black people that they weren't black, if they vote for him, I'd still vote for him. All those things actually happen. Where is the line? And the media is just so dishonest. And when I talk to journalists, they say, well, why do you conservatives not trust us? Do you not see this? You are an activist campaign driven to the complete and total destruction of our country. Is the line where if he unmasked an American hero? Oh, wait, you did that. Is that the line? Seriously, I would love a Democrat to email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. This is the line. This is the line that will not be crossed. You know what the line is for Trump? I wouldn't support the president if he went back on his promises. Oh, wait, he hasn't. He does his promises. He's building the wall. He got out of NAFTA and renegotiated it. We canceled the Iran deal. Embassy to Jerusalem, recognize the Golan Heights. Better trade deals, holding China accountable. That's my line. The president has my vote, my support, my confidence, and my advocacy, because unlike the corrupt Chinese Communist Party agent, Joe Biden, who I have full faith in that he can rebuild Shanghai, he can make Wuhan great again. He will be a phenomenal advocate for the restoration of Wuhan. If that matters for you, Joe Biden is your candidate. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Start a chapter, get engaged, get involved. Do something right now to fight for freedom and liberty. Use this shutdown, use this lockdown, use this virus as an excuse to be a better person. As I'm recording this right now, Donald Trump has just been flagged on Twitter and saying essentially that there's something dishonest around it. We are going to do a total cross-examination of tech tyranny and digital public assassinations and the elimination of digital identity tomorrow on The Charlie Kirk Show. You are not going to want to miss it. So make sure you subscribe. Type in The Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider right now. I know I say it a lot, but we are doing better than ever. We have such unbelievable download numbers. The more people you can reference the show to, the more people you can send it to. We are now a top 10 podcast on Apple News, top 10 podcast in the States on Apple News, and we want to stay there thanks to your support. So hit subscribe, give us those 5-star reviews. I have a stack of MAGA doctrines I am sending out right now. I'm going to send out 10. Send me your favorite Fox News show that you like listening to at freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to hear it. I want to see it. Your favorite Fox News show, freedom@charliekirk.com. First 10 people to do it, get a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe. God bless you. Tomorrow, we take on the tech tyrants. Till next time, God bless.